Welcome to a podcast by OpenTheWord.org, where we discuss a bit of Bible, a bit of life, and a bit of politics.
Hi, my name is Dean Smith, and in this podcast, I want to talk about our secret thoughts, things we secretly think about ourselves. Many of us have secrets, things we think but have never told anyone. We secretly wonder if God really loves us, or if God loves others more than you. We wonder if we could ever be good enough to be used by God. Sure, on the outside, things look great. But on the inside, we have these secret thoughts swirling around in our mind. But what is behind this? Well, we may have a clue from an article published in 1994 in the Journal of Scientific Study of Religion that reported on the odd connection between how children perceived God and how they perceived their parents. The study asked 153 children to rank how they perceived God on a number of characteristics such as kindness, love, patience, and warmth. And then they asked them to rank their parents on those exact same characteristics. The researchers found that despite differences in race, religion, or financial status, the children visualized God in the same way as they visualized their parents. And this connection should not surprise us, because God created parents to have this important role in a child's life. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we are told that God created humans in the image and likeness of God. Likeness implies that we are similar to God. We think, we have emotions, a will, and this similarity allows us to have a relationship with God. But the Hebrew word for image, tselem, has a completely different spin on it. The word means representation. We are to represent what God is like. In fact, the Hebrew word is used throughout the Old Testament to describe idols. It is used in the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, where the Hebrews are told that they were not to make any idols or graven images, as the King James quaintly described them. But this unique word also leaves the impression that humans were to function as the idols representing God, not something made of wood or stone. This leads to the more obvious question: what purpose would it serve to have every human, you and me, like be the idols that represent God? I mean, I could say to you that you really look divine today, and of course you could reply back, ditto to you, Dean. And having gone through that process a couple of times, what else does it accomplish? Well, I believe it was done for the children who, as they interacted with their parents, would gain an understanding of who God was and what God was like. And this would serve as a natural bridge for them to develop their own personal relationship with their Heavenly Father. And this would happen, and as they matured and became adults, this would just be the natural transition. But then sin entered the world. And this idol that was intended to represent God was horribly scarred and cracked. And because of that, children developed wrong and flawed perceptions of what God was really like. Unfortunately, these flawed perceptions often follow us into adulthood. In 1999, Catholic psychologist Paul Vitz caused quite a stir among atheists when he wrote a book entitled Faith of the Fathers, The Psychology of Atheism, where he examined the family life of many renowned atheists like Madeleine Murray O'Hara, Voltaire, and Nietzsche. And he noticed that they all had one caustic similarity. They came from homes where their fathers were either very abusive or completely absent. And as these people got older, their response to this flawed perception of God was not to believe in God at all. Though we haven't gone to the same extreme as these atheists, many of us to some extent, have a distorted image of God, largely because of our parents. Look, our parents weren't perfect, and neither are we, so it applies to our children as well. And because of this, we may struggle believing that God prefers others over you, like your parents preferred your brother or sister over you. We may think that no matter what we do, it is never good enough for God, because our parents basically did the same thing to us. We may think that we will never amount to anything in the kingdom of God because that was hammered into us by our mom or dad. We may find it difficult to trust God because you couldn't trust your dad. I know of one man who had a horrible time trusting God and couldn't, and it could be traced back to his narcissistic earthly father, who time and time again would give his son permission to borrow the family car, then at the last moment change his mind and not allow him to take it. This was such a problem that years later, when he was in his 70s and 80s, he was still talking about this issue. We may be scared to do anything because you think if you make a mistake, God will punish you. No matter what you did as a child, it was never good enough. We struggle believing that God loves us unconditionally because our parents' love was always conditional. So how do we break free from these false perceptions of God? In Matthew 18, verse 21, Peter asked Jesus how many times he had to forgive his brother. 7 times? Now, Peter thought he was being overly generous because the Jewish rabbis taught, based on a misinterpretation of prophecies in Amos, that a person only needed to forgive 3 times, and then on the 4th, you could let them have it. In other words, Peter was thinking he was twice as good as the best rabbi alive at the time. But then Jesus replied, no, sorry, 70 times 7. Essentially, Jesus was saying we need to forgive indefinitely. We need to always forgive. I mean, who can keep track of forgiving someone 490 times? And if you did manage to do that, you really have to wonder if they had forgiven the person the 489 times previous. But the 70 times 7 principle may mean something else, because I think there are times you may have to forgive an incident or a person more than once. I'm not talking about forgiving 490 different incidents, but rather forgiving the same incident 490 times. Let me explain. I was in my late 20s, and I can still vividly remember the day I was walking down 11th Avenue in our city, and I had a flashback of an incident that happened to me years earlier as I was growing up. I was still a kid. There were thousands of things that happened to me as a kid that I couldn't remember even if you paid me, but there were 4 I couldn't forget. And for no explainable reason, I would periodically get these same 4 memories flashing through my mind. They're always the same, and they always involve the same incident and were as clear and as alive to me as the day they happened to me years earlier. I had been getting these flashbacks for years, but this time I asked God why I was getting them. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me that there was still an emotion attached to these memories, such as anger, betrayal, or shame, that were keeping these memories alive in my mind. And the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to forgive what happened to me and those who were involved, particularly in this instance, my parents. And as I began to do this, I forgave each one of those incidents that I had these flashbacks about, and I thought it was done. Then late one night, I got another lesson on forgiveness as I pulled into the driveway of our home. I can still remember the headlights lighting up our house, and something triggered one of those flashbacks. I was surprised. It surprised me because I had previously forgiven the incident and I wondered what was going on. But then I felt that the Holy Spirit was urging me to forgive again. This is when I learned that 70 times 7 principle can also refer to layers and layers of forgiveness. Forgiveness is like an onion. We can forgive and pull one layer off, but there are more layers left. And over time, the Holy Spirit will lead you to forgive again, and maybe again, and then one day, the onion has disappeared. Jesus described that final step as forgiving from the heart in Matthew 18, verse 35. Of course, this principle of forgiveness applies to all areas of our life, not just areas involving our parents. I remember being plagued by those memories. I remember the name of the street where I asked God about these flashbacks. But today, I can't remember what they were about except one. And that is because as I forgave and forgave again, this broke the emotional attachment that kept these memories alive. For the first time, as I forgave, these flashbacks finally had a chance to grow old. After repeatedly forgiving and forgiving again, these memories finally disappeared. But as I was working on this teaching, oddly, one of these memories came back to me again, and I wondered if there's more I needed to forgive. It involved a football game in high school. I was on the team, and I'd finally talked my dad into coming to the game. We were playing a very tough team, and I think they actually ended up becoming the league champions. And I ended up lined up against a strong player, and I was getting beaten all the time. In fact, the coach was pulling me from the game, but then he would send me back in, and I would get beat again, and he'd pull me out. I knew my dad was watching, and it must have been hugely embarrassing for him, and as I'm sure the other parents were talking, get that guy off the field. But by the second half, I was finally able to make the necessary adjustments, and I was doing quite a bit better against this player. And in fact, other players were being pulled off because of their play. I mean, it was a very tough team. And then I remember, even though I was playing well, I remember looking up to see if my dad was still there, and I saw he was gone. That was my flashback. I was looking up. And seeing my dad gone, and that had been rehearsed again and again in my mind, looking up and seeing he was gone. Though I had forgiven my dad, I wondered why I was still having this memory. Sometimes it's not always clear what we need to forgive. And I felt God saying that I needed to forgive my dad for specifically giving up on me. You see, God never gives up on us. Sometimes we believe that he does. Look, I don't want to dump on your parents because they went through the same stuff with their mom and dad who went through it with theirs, and we have done that same thing to our kids. And I'm not suggesting that every time you have a flashback, that means you need to forgive someone. I'm just suggesting that these flashbacks or these memories may not always be due to the pizza. I think we need to look at these flashbacks and ask, is there something that I need to do? Is there someone I need to forgive? I believe the journey to wholeness and a proper relationship with God must invariably go through our parents. I want to thank you for joining me on this podcast, and we'll catch you again.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications of future broadcasts. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating and even a review. Thanks again for listening.